the power of this tool will enable the agriculture to go to the next paradigm. You know, we shift paradigms in this industry many years ago with certain technologies. Now we are in the verge of shifting again. And I think that, you know, there were going to be, you know, a lot of opportunities.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Gene editing in plants. It's been heralded as the next step function change in the advancement of agriculture and the advancement of biotechnology. And one Indiana company is advancing that technology just fresh off a $144 million venture capital raise. Their chief product officer joins us now. Welcome, Claudia Inari from Inari, Ag Bioscience. Claudia, welcome.
Thank you for having me here, Mitch. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It is.
And your audience.
Well, it's a historic time for Inari. It's a historic time for biotechnology, for gene editing. I think we should start there. As you've been in plant breeding for decades.
Don't say that. Just weeks.
Just weeks, clearly. Help us understand, what is gene editing in plants and how is it different than traditional breeding?
Gene editing is an amazing tool. Gene edited enables us to do breeding more precisely, faster, with a fraction of the cost. At the end of the day, the combination of tools that we can put together enables us to accelerate breeding and enables us to do that with precision and enables us to actually solve the complex problems that we are facing in this industry and in this world.
When you look at your history in traditional breeding, we've talked a lot about speed and what it would typically take for a breeding environment. Just help paint a picture. If you had to breed a plant to get to an attribute that you're trying to versus gene edit a plant, what are we talking difference-wise?
If I were going to make the short answer, it's probably a third of the time.
Okay.
If I were going to go the long answer, I were going to say that when I do breeding, you know, I know who are my parents, I make the combinations, I generate variability, and then I need to select. When I do gene editing based on predictions or based on understanding the basis of the genetics and the networks, I know exactly what do we need to do and how do we need to do it. So the times are really extremely reduced without losing. Actually, I was not going to say it, gaining in precision on what you do.
That precision is something that you, Ponzi, the CEO, the entire team have really focused on. Highlight some of the areas that you're applying editing to advance agriculture, whether it be short stature corn, whether it be drought tolerance. Give a flavor.
We are working we are working in corn, soy, and wheat. Those are our, you know, core crops that we are working today. And we are focusing in two big buckets, you know, yield, you know, getting more bushels out of the acre, but reducing the amount of resources, being those fertilizers or water or whatever other resources that we may need to put into the equation. So it's about enhancing the yield, you know, without requiring more inputs into it. So, you know, those are the very bold objectives that Inari has.
Bold objectives that investors are rewarding you for. I mentioned up top, $144 million venture raise brings total capital and the company raised about $750 million. It's a lot of cash. As you look at all the interactions you, the team, have had with investors over this cycle, this is one of the toughest cycles to raise capital in for ag tech. Venture capital overall, a really tough environment. What were some of the aha moments or those things that you heard from investors when they said, Claudia, I had no idea that was possible?
I think that basically goes back into the unique offer that Inari has, you know, by combining predictive tools with a very deep understanding of the genetic basis that what we want to do with a state-of-the-art technologies in order or tools in order to deliver those things. So I think that it, you know, our investors understand the commitment and the long-term. Our investors are long-term investors. They understand the cycles of agriculture and they understand the uniqueness of what Inari offer is. So I think that this is the combination that has enabled us to actually achieve what we achieved.
What is that uniqueness? When you put it very finitely, what is the uniqueness that Inari brings?
Combining, you know, I was going to say that starting by working in crops that has a large footprint.
Sure.
You know, because whatever we do really have a last impact in the ecosystem of the industry and the environment, okay, both and the farmers.
Yeah.
But is that combination of the best advanced tools and technology for editing and combining those in multiple ways. We can edit multiple genes at the time using different tools and different changes in those genes based on our ability to predict which are those networks and those genes that we want to edit. So that combination of knowing what to do and having the tools to do it and do all at the same time is the unique offer of Inari.
You've had to educate in a very positive way, educate a lot of investors mm-hmm. about why it's different, about why your approach is working. What are some of those areas that you've maybe spent a little more time on than others where folks have had questions and gosh, tell me how you're different?
That's a good question. You know, I think that a lot is how do we manage, you know, all the, we are in the area of the big data, okay? Everybody claims that we have the best data set. But reality is having the right data set for the right thing at the right time is one of the things that our investors are interested in and understand. And we have that ability in order to actually make it, you know, possible. So I think that some of the questions go there. The other is, of course, understanding the entire ecosystem of the industry and right. the seed investment and how do we really, you know, we want to develop those, you know, and how we are thinking about going to market.
We'll take a look at what go-to-market will look like and what the future holds for gene editing. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Claudia Nari, the Chief Product Officer of Inari. Claudia, you and I were together last fall, walked a couple fields. Fascinating to see your plants in the ground growing. Share more about where you are in commercialization, how field trials are going.
As you mentioned, you know, we have been able to put our products under field conditions already multiple seasons, you know, multiple locations. So really very excited about the progress that we are making. But also as a seed design company, you know, we work very closely with our customers, you know, our partners. We are a company. Our objective is to unlock the full potential of the seed by using gene editing and predictive design. But our partners are the ones that they're going to go to market.
Yeah.
So our partners or customers, seed companies, are the ones that are carrying this technology into their fields too. So many of the farmers around were able to see some of our technology last year. Many more were going to be able to see that in the upcoming season, you know, when we get into the time in the United States.
I love the positioning of Seed Design. I think it's a powerful statement, succinct. As you are talking with your channel partners, go-to-market partners, I assume they're bringing you problems to solve. Hey, I have, you know, I need wind tolerance, or I need drought tolerance, or pick your favorite variable. What are some of those problems they're bringing to you to solve?
There are many of those. You're right. You know, I think that, as we said before, yield is one of the key sure. ones, resource use efficiencies too. But, you know, we get into what is the novel or the next generation of crops, you know, how important is to tolerate colder conditions in planting mm-hmm. and or colder conditions in harvested or warmer conditions during the growing season. Can we plant earlier? Can we make the cycles different? So I think that the power of this tool will enable the agriculture to go to the next paradigm. You know, we shift paradigms in this industry many years ago with certain technologies. Now we are in the verge of shifting again. And I think that, you know, there were going to be, you know, a lot of opportunities, you know, biotic and abiotic stresses is what our customers are looking for. How do you better explore the environment? Yeah. How do you get the most of the environment that we're going to continue to change?
It is interesting when you look at gene editing. I mean, rewind back to what, the 50s? When hybridization really became, and we saw this, I mean, if you look at the productivity per acre chart, you see this giant change, yep. right? And I think it was the 50s, am I right?
I think that the first hybrids were probably in the 40s, but okay. deployed in the 50s.
Are we going to see that same step function change here as gene editing takes over?
Our products intend to be step change products. If you look at, let's say soybean as an example.
Sure.
You know, in the last 30 years, you know, the genetic gain has been probably around 1% per year. And many, yeah. many papers are even saying that this yield increase 1% per year is probably half due to agronomic practices. Mm-hmm. The other half is genetic gain. So really, you know, has been very slow. So, you know, the ability to jump in yield or step change products that we dug is a reality that we are approaching very quickly.
As you see that reality come to market, the question always is the operating environment. Mm-hmm. Regulatory being perhaps one of the biggest headwinds. As you look here in the States, but really around the world, how is the world, the global regulatory environment, embracing or not gene editing?
It's a good question. I think that the regulatory environment in the United States is quite positive towards this technology. Again, remember, this is a form of precision breeding. So the outcome of this technology is something that we could have done with more time, money, and investment through conventional breeding techniques. So there is nothing here that could not have been achieved, you know, by other conventional, so the risk profile of the product is similar to the risk profile of a product obtained by breeding. And this is the momentum that we are gaining, not only in the United States, also globally. If Good. You can think at one of the most traditional export markets like the European Union, you know, the progress that Europe has made in the last years, in the last few years about adopting regulation that will enable the deployment of this technology and recognizing that this technology is, again, has the same risk profile that the products that could have been developed by breeding is something that we are seeing every day.
Claudia, we talked up front. I called Inari an Indiana company, and I will always call Inari an Indiana company, formerly headquartered in Boston, but the biggest operation in the yes. world is here in yes. Indiana. As you look at this next growing season, we're heading into growing season 25. Where, when, how can farmers see Inari technology in field?
As I mentioned before, all our customers, you know, we're going to have their own demo plots where farmers actually farmers, many farmers have seen our technology last year in those plots. They were going to see this technology this year, that, but we're going to be in our customers' fields.
Good. Good.
As they are bulking up the material.
Sure. As you also look to the future, we're going to get past this growing season. It's a cyclical nature of this ag economy. You've been in it. We've seen it together. One thing's always true. Growth happens. We'll continue to advance innovation. You have a war chest now of, you know, in aggregate, $750 million-ish in venture that you've raised. What's next for Inari? What can we expect to see? How we see those dollars turn into innovation for producers?
You know, as we said before, you know, certain things are going to be closer to the market. Some others will take a little bit longer time.
Sure.
You know, but again, yield, resource use efficiencies, you know, different architecturals and or characteristics on the crops that enables us to really, you know, explore better the environment in a changing environment and focusing in, you know, our vision, it's having a positive impact in the food system. And that means not only the environmental impact of our products, but also the well-being of the farmers, you know, and the food security of the world. So yes, what our customers are going to see is a novel technology into many different products that they were going to fit all their markets' needs with the right agronomical characteristics that would have provided a step change on their financials and their operations.
Driving that farm income, it's important.
It is.
It is critical.
It's part of the ecosystem, you know?
Without a doubt. Without
so that's why we want to talk, when we want to talk about our, again, our vision, we look at, you know, not only the environmental impact, but also the farmer well-being, yeah, as well as the food security, because we believe that those are the three key problems that we're facing in this industry, in this world.
It's a bold vision. Claudia Inari, Chief Product Officer at Inari, thanks so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, while you're online, check us out at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier. Sam, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.